Welcome back. Don't leave that in the show. Welcome back to the Renaissance. I believe this is episode 153.
Sounds right.
I can't say that, but if you say it with the accent, you don't have to say the actual language. And with confidence. In confidence. And do it with your hands, no one will argue with you.
It's a 153.
So Leonardo is back in Florence.
Ooh. Before we get started, and this pains me. I don't take any pleasure in this, but I am taking a page from Leo's book. I did work really hard for 27 minutes just before we got on and did some research.
I saw you had a box of tissues out.
Thank you.
That was 30 seconds.
I'm going to adopt the philosophy of quiet quitting. Now, you may not notice the change in my output, but I feel it's a good move for me spiritually, emotionally, physically, healthily, you know, all that good stuff. What about you?
No, I'll carry the slack as always. You.
So nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Okay,
no.
We can get on with the show now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Leonardo is back in Florence. It's around 1500.
Yes.
And we can tell something about what his mindset is in Florence, his worldview in Florence, how he perceives himself and his role in the world in Florence by continuing the story of this portrait of Isabella d'Este that he had not and would not finish.
Yeah.
Now, reminder of who she is for the casual listener.
Right.
Wife of the ruler of Mantua. Mm-hmm. She's a major patron of the arts, trained in the classics, speaks Latin, speaks Greek, studies history, music, philosophy.
26.
As smart as me and just as good looking. 26 years old, just like me. Better breasts. Than me, probably.
Slightly. Yeah.
The poet Ariosto called her the liberal and magnanimous Isabella.
Wow.
The author Matteo Bondello, these are contemporaries, described her as supreme among women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The diplomat Niccolo da Correggio called her the first lady of the world.
Wow.
So she was a big deal.
She was, but... Is there a chance that some of those things that you just said, which are heady stuff indeed, is there a chance that maybe some of that did go to her head? And so she thinks of herself in a certain way and for the rest of you peons in a different way? I'm asking.
Yeah, possibly. But I think, she's deservedly arrogant with who she is. She's like, hey,
I'm not
a big deal.
One. Right. That's what I put on her desk. There's a sign that says, I'm kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal, yeah. You've got one of those, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
By big, 3'7".
That's
in your family, that's big.
Yeah, that's huge.
Oh, right.
Huge. Yeah.
Her sister, up until her demise, was the wife of Ludovico Sforza.
Right.
She was the daughter of the Duke of Ferrara, who was the top dog at the time in the Est family, who were, according to some books I read, the richest and oldest noble clan in Italy.
One percenters. Literally one percenters in every category.
So she's not only smart and beautiful and well-educated.
Right.
She is the daughter of the guy who's the head of the richest and oldest noble family in Italy. So she's a big deal.
Not only that, but if I could add on one more thing, she seems to be related.
She's like Ivanka Trump.
Right.
If Ivanka Trump, Ivanka, which one's the daughter? Ivana. Which one's dead? One was pushed down a elevator shaft and one is.
The one he hasn't banged in a while. Go ahead. That's how I remember her.
He's going to push him down an elevator shaft.
Jared's piece.
It's like if Trump's daughter was beautiful and smart, then she would be like Isabella.
I think if is the important word.
If she was beautiful and smart and highly educated.
Yes.
And Trump actually had money, and right. It wasn't all just dodgy accounting.
Yes. Yeah. Could I add something to that? Also, if she was married to or connected through marriage to some of the cruelest, meanest, most dangerous sons of bitches. So not only is she the total package, but she knows people. You know, don't make me say names. Don't make me call anybody on you. But the point is, she knows
people. You're talking about the Trump girl now or no, Isabella?
No, Pierce? Isabella. Sorry. Isabella. You know,
oh, yes. Right.
Yeah, another family that we'll be covering soon. But the point is, she knows people. Don't piss her off.
Now, the House of Este gave Great Britain and the United Kingdom the Hanoverian monarchs.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
It's a little bit down the track. It's a couple of hundred years later.
Still, that's impressive.
From George the First
right.
in 1714, roughly, through to Queen Victoria in the early 1900s.
That's a heck of a run.
They were all from the House of D'Este. House of Este.
Yeah.
So this is going to continue after Isabella's time to be
an
incredibly powerful, influential family. Yeah. From the age of six, Isabella had been betrothed to Francesco Gonzaga.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
The Marquess of Mantua.
Mm-hmm.
The families were very interconnected. I think Isabella is best friends with Francesco Gonzaga's daughter or sister. No, she's his wife. His sister
right.
or somebody.
Right.
No, her mother. Her mother was best friends with his sister, I think.
Well, the elites hang out with each other, right?
But they're very tight with this family.
Yes.
When she married Francesco, she brought a dowry of 25,000 gold ducats, which was worth about $3 million in 2017.
Oh, shit. I wrote 25,000 gold ducks. Yours makes more sense. Okay, let's go with that. I got to check.
She also brought 25,000 gold ducks, and they weren't ducks made out of gold. They were real ducks.
Quack, quack.
That she had molten gold poured over.
I'm a huge fan.
While they were still alive.
Yeah. Who's the guy?
Like,
what's his name?
Crassus.
Crassus. There we go.
Crassus,
he would love that.
Or the Targaryen in that show that shall not be mentioned, neither shall its sequel till the end of time.
Exactly. Exactly.
25,000 gold ducks.
$3 million and roughly 2017 money. That's a pretty big deal because you could just cruise for the rest of your life. But she, great things are expected of them and their offspring.
Well, when she turned up to their wedding in 1491, she, despite the fact that she was super rich and super smart, super well educated, gorgeous.
Right.
The daughter of the guy who's the head of the oldest and richest noble family in Italy.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be ostentatious.
No, that's tacky.
So,
right.
Yeah, there was a suggestion that this wedding in 1491 should be over the top, sort of,
right.
Kim Kardashian, Kanye, Pete, lavish. Joe and Ben Affleck, Joe Fleck,
right? Yeah.
Ben, Joe. I don't know whatever the fuck these people are called.
I don't know.
But she was like, no. I want to look. At deep down inside, I'm a simple country girl.
I'm a poet.
With
yes,
yeah. yeah. I'm a poet. I'm an artiste.
Right.
Yeah. I just want to.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Yeah,
mean anything.
I don't. I look.
Have
I don't
compromise.
Need outlandish displays of wealth and power.
Yes.
Look, I would be content just to rock up to the wedding, being carried by a flotilla of, say, 50 boats.
Right.
And just carry me through the streets when I get off the 50 boats.
Right.
Just carry me to the wedding in a solid gold chariot. That's
right.
And look, and I'm happy. That's
standard
all I need.
Baggage.
Oh.
Yeah.
The streets will be lined with 17,000 spectators,
right.
ambassadors from dozens of realms around the world.
Yeah.
But that, of course, let's just put that to the side for the moment because that's obviously going to happen. But that's all I need, just simple, down-to-earth, that's me. That's how I want the people to think of me, simple, down-to-earth, solid gold chariot, 50 boats to carry me. That's all I want. Line the streets with fresh rose petals.
Yes.
And the heads of all my enemies.
Right.
Just that. That's all.
Yes. It's not for me.
I need.
It's for the people. They need spectacle. They need to show. They need to know how to properly think of me. And I think the 50 boats and the gold chariot will help that with that. Will help with that nicely. Just curtsy. Don't look me in the eye. I'll have your head taken off. But yeah, no, and she's somewhere around 19 or 20. I'm trying to remember in 1491, because when she starts dealing with Leo around 1500, she's 26. But the point is, even though she's around 20 or whatever, this girl knows exactly what she wants and she expects it. And I get the feeling that she doesn't hear the word no very much.
No, not even from her husband, particularly not from her husband. She was born in 1474.
Thank you.
So 1491, she's 16, 17, I guess, when she gets married.
Sweet spot, yeah.
Oh, did she have a sweet spot? Oh,
that's what us older men call it.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. Where were we?
Well, her husband...
Yeah.
was known as a weak leader.
Right.
And he was often away, probably banging mistresses.
Sure.
So at one point he was held hostage in Venice for 3 years. Damn. So as we've mentioned, I think, before on the show, she acted as regent.
Yes.
And took command of the city's military.
Damn.
Held off enemies when they were being attacked, because obviously he's away. They think it's a good opportunity. They try and attack. She's like, boom, yeah, motherfuckers.
Bitch.
No, you don't hit this sweet spot. This sweet spot's
closed.
For Francesco Gonzaga only.
Only, solamente. She
Gorgonzola.
Yeah, there we go. She knew what to do, and she's very bold, like you said, very confident. She takes charge of the military. I think she has to, she's the regent to her son who's going to take over, because they don't know if her husband's coming back. 3 years is a long time to be a prisoner. Even though he's weak and he's spineless, I think his penis was working just fine.
Well, at one point, probably got ruined though. Yeah. So she's maybe a little bit too mouthy,
right?
Maybe a little bit too powerful for her husband.
Good point.
Either way, he ends up having a long-term affair with Lucrezia Borgia,
right,
the sister of Cesare Borgia. Notoriously beautiful and evil, and was also married to Isabella's brother.
Okay.
So he's having sex with his sister-in-law.
That's hot.
Now,
that's
super fucking hot. And she's evil, which makes it even hotter.
Please tell. Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, after you.
I know you're going to enjoy this very much. So Lucrezia's, this is her third marriage. Could you tell me what happened to her second husband?
Oh, this would be Alfonso d'Aragon, the Duke of Bichelier and the Prince of Salerno.
I'm impressed.
They were married around about 1498, so a little bit after Isabella got married.
Yeah.
She was then appointed governor of Spoleto. I've been to Spoleto up in Umbria, lovely place, 1499. Mm. He fled Rome shortly afterwards, but then she begged him to come back.
Aww,
he did come back,
yeah,
and she had him murdered, or her brother Cesare had him murdered. We're not really sure.
Right? Does it matter?
But no, it doesn't matter.
Do you believe the part where the brother had him strangled right in front of her? Now, I've heard of having, you know, kinky sex with someone while your spouse watches. I can do that all day long. Strangulation right in front of me. I don't know if that's my wheelhouse. I'm not sure I can do that. What about you?
Well, no, she was rubbing one out while it was happening. So she was into
She's
it,
all good.
Apparently.
All right. I stand corrected.
After he died,
right,
her second husband, Alfonso, she needed to marry someone else called Alfonso. So then she married Alfonso d'Este, the Duke of Ferrara, who was Isabella's brother.
Right.
She had eight children with him.
Damn.
By the way, her father at the time was Pope Alexander VI, one of the Borgia popes.
Right.
So he organized that marriage to Alfonso, and then she married Isabella's brother.
Right.
And then started fucking Isabella's husband. So it was great.
We good all have times. Hobbies. Yeah, good times. Yeah. We all have hobbies.
Then she had a love affair during this marriage with the poet Pietro Bembo.
Right.
This is still I don't know how we got onto Lucrezia Borgia. We have to talk more about the Borgias.
We do.
Yeah. They wrote love letters to each other, her and this poet. They were deemed by Lord Byron the prettiest love letters in the world.
Wow, that's saying something.
He saw them a couple of hundred years later.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So then, you know, she had lots of other affairs, Lucretia.
Yes.
Some sex. Yeah. There's a lot of portraits of her, in some of which, I'm not calling her that beautiful. She looks is a strange-looking bird, but had great breasts, apparently, according to some of her paintings.
Well, I don't think you quite grasp the strength of her charm. She was rich. She was powerful. She could have you whacked, so she could walk up to you and go, hey, you will give me that dick, and you have to, or you'll die, or you'll lose the dick.
Yeah.
So the point is, you don't have to be pretty when you've got money and muscle. Trust me.
That's how I've gotten through my life. Yeah. Except I have no money or muscle. I'm just pretty. I've got through life on just being pretty.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Isabella?
Isabella dealt with everything, her husband's affairs with her sister-in-law.
Right.
Among other things, by collecting art. And
that's stress relief. Yeah.
But not just any art.
No.
She was.
Sorry.
You know, she would have the world's greatest artists come through Mantua, and she would say, hey, can you paint me a painting? And they would be like,
don't you mean the beautiful landscape? No, bitch. Me.
Sicuramente, signora. che cosa. Vuole painting immaginare to be essere. What would you like? Che cosa vuole? What would you like?
Yeah, what would you like?
The painting immaginare to be essere.
Right.
Is my very bad Italian. And she would say, they'd say, like, we could paint the Madonna, we could paint Jesus, we could paint
Jesus.
A lovely landscape, we could paint a battle scene, we could paint your husband. She's like,
I'm kind of off him right now. Yeah.
Sure, those are all their ideas.
Not bad.
What I'd really like is if you just painted me.
More me.
Just a portrait. Portrait of me. Yeah. More me.
It's got to go in the meeting room.
Me.
Yeah.
Me.
I've only got 17 murals or whatever the proper term is of portraits of myself. 17 is not a good number. I need a nice round 30. So you're next.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yes, portraits of herself was what she was obsessed with. No suggestion at all that she was a narcissist.
No.
But was obsessed with portraits.
Well, she was chased by people. She was beautiful. She had it all.
But apparently a bit chubby.
I was going to bring that up. She's in the second half of her 20s. Now, as we all know, you can still be quite attractive in the second half of your 20s. But the point is, she's not 18 anymore. She probably sits around reading all the time. And so the weight cometh.
Yeah. Unlike us, who've maintained our youthly figures.
Specimens.
Into our 50s.
Yes. I get women every day, Ray, if I can't have you, can I just have some of your semen? I get that. I used to charge for it, but now I see it as charity. Actually, I write it off on my taxes. How do we get on this? I feel uncomfortable. Heather's going to hear me. I'm done. Semen giver. I'm a semen giver.
Are there any functional sperm in your semen?
No, I think they just collect it because it's mine. Oh, my God, listen to me. I've got an ego. You're done, Ray. You're done.
The problem she had with all the portraits that were painted of her is that she looked too fat in all of them.
She
was like,
looked too fat, or she was too fat. Come on,
no,
Kim.
She's like, ah, oh, look at your this.
You're a horrible artist.
It's
too much paint.
You made me look fat, and they're like,
way too much paint.
She's like, give me someone else. Give me another artist. Paint me. And they do. And she goes, no, I look too fat in that one as well. No. Next, give me another one.
What is going on here? Yeah. Is it a conspiracy? Because that's what it feels like, people. Don't look me in the eye.
The respected Mantua court artist, Andrea Montagna, painted her in 1493. And she said, the painter has done it so badly that it does not look like us in the least.
Okay, two things.
It's like,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like when James Caffin painted my portrait.
Right.
It didn't look like me in the least. Way too dashing and handsome.
Right. Well, there's the two.
That's what she wanted.
Right. Like, she wanted. Yeah. Kind of.
Photoshop it, basically. Make me look good, is what I said to James.
I meant to say was paint me when I was 18. Yeah, I know. But paint me when I was 18. And the other thing, I'm going to start using the third person because as we go into her letters, and I get it because she's nobility. I don't know if she's royalty or not, but she might as well be. There's a lot of third person going on around here. So I think maybe that's the way we should talk from now on. I don't know. What do you think? Would it confuse people?
Ray would prefer to speak of himself in the third person.
Yes, he would.
Yes, Ray's getting angry. Ray had a good game. Ray scored 4 baskets. Ray's hungry. Ray's going to get something to eat.
Ray can't find anybody who will paint him thin. That's her problem. Basically, it's going on.
I had to pay James Caffin extra to paint me that way. So maybe that was a
She wasn't tipping. Thing. She's not a tipper.
You got to pay extra if you want to look good in your portraits.
And I think the secret is you got to tip up front because they don't know. Unless you say something. Tip up front, you'll look thinner and younger, more hair, youthful, the whole thing.
Yeah, more hair, except on your back. If it's, one of those.
Maybe I should have made that more clear
to
my artist. Look.
When you're posing like that.
Yeah. Trapped. Like George Costanza. And again, people see that and they go, oh, look, he's a berry bear. But the point is, I have feelings and it hurts. I'm done now.
She had another portrait painted by a painter who worked for her family in Ferrara. She sent it to Milan as a gift and apologized to Ludovico Sforza.
Right.
I am afraid that I shall weary not only your highness but all of Italy with the sight of my portraits, she wrote. I send this one, which is not really very good and makes me look fatter than I am. Poor Ludovico was like, well, what the fuck do I do with that?
There's a time for honesty, and then there's a time for non-honesty.
She was basically saying, do these pants make my ass look big?
And he said.
And he's like, I think it looks like it looks.
Yeah. It is. Your ass is what it is. Philosophical. Yeah. She should have replied, I'm just big boned. But she didn't.
Yeah.
And she was eating hobnobs as she was writing this letter. So I think she's only going to get wider as time goes on.
I don't know what that is, but let's move on.
Which is chocolates. Yeah.
Oh. No, he responded that he thought the picture was a good likeness. She said, it makes me look too fat. And he said,
it looks
just like you.
Yeah.
Which
is not what you say. Gosh,
yeah, lucky he wasn't trying to sleep with her. Maybe he was. Yeah. He had lots of mistresses, as we know.
The only one who can be the only one who could be mean to a woman you're not sleeping with is a despot. That's the only thing that saved his ass, that he has an army and that he wasn't trying to bang her.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of his mistresses' portraits that was painted by Leonardo was one of the reasons why Isabella wanted Leonardo to paint her portrait.
Oh.
Because he did such a stellar job on Ludovico's mistresses. We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
At one point, Isabella lamented, we only wish that we could be as well served by painters as we are by men of letters. Because poets would write poems about her and how beautiful she was.
Right.
And they just left out the fat bit. Right. I've got one of the poems here. I dug it up in a book. I'm not sure who the poet was. Might have been the guy that was sleeping with Lucretia Borgia. It went, I mean, this is the English version. The original was obviously in Italian, but it's her name is Isabella. She likes to eat Nutella. She eats it all day to keep the fat away, which is why she looks so skinny, fella.
Oh my God. That's pretty good.
And she liked that. Yeah, that was her thing. Yeah. She was like, I mean, to you and me, that may seem
right
amateurish nonsense, but to her, I mean, this is, you know, 1500.
Chef's kiss.
This is, yeah, this is like one of the greatest poems that had ever been written in history up until that point in time.
You could argue it launched the Renaissance, but I wouldn't.
Nutella hadn't even been invented. This guy was just, he was inventing Nutella. It was named after her.
Yeah.
He invented a chocolatey roasted almond pasty thing and named it. It's got it's nuts, and I'm making it for Isabella, so it's Nutella.
It's Isabella Nutella. Boom.
Well, originally it was called Is a B Nut.
Right.
That was the original name he had for it, but they Barry and Stan market tested that. No. Is a B Nut? No. Yeah, that sounds like a masturbation. Right. That sounds like a fleshlight. That's the name. We've got that name trademarked.
You can't use
fleshlight.
That. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Want a Nut and Is a B Nut were the two different fleshlights they were coming.
It's a small world. It really, all these things keep bumping into each other. Well,
anywho, they were workshopping it. It wasn't locked in.
No.
You know?
It's on the
So then she picks Leonardo, as we know before. In 1498, soon after the death of her sister Beatrice, who had been married to Ludovico Sforza while he was fucking everyone else.
Sure.
Isabella wrote to one of his mistresses. Cecilia Gallarani, the lady with an ermine.
Yeah.
I fucking love that painting.
Are we talking about the ermine or the woman? Either way, don't matter. Go ahead. Sorry.
She wanted to compare that portrait to the one that had been done by a Venetian painter, Giovanni Bellini.
Because she wants the best. Who's the best?
She wants the best.
That's who I got to have. Yeah.
Two portraits of Cecilia, one by Da Vinci, one by Bellini. She wanted to compare them. She goes, look, can you just send them to me?
Right.
And she actually said, I've got this guy waiting.
Right, literally.
Just send it with him. He'll bring them back because I want to look.
Yeah, wrap it up, put it on the back of the horse. He can be here in like 22 hours, piece of cake.
There's actually a cocktail named after Bellini, by the way, the Bellini cocktail.
Oh.
You ever had a Bellini?
I've had a bulimic. That wasn't fun. I think I broke her in half. No, but that's a different – we don't need to go into that. Sorry.
We used to have like a thing that was like a Thermomix, but it was Bellini was the name of the brand.
Right.
The Bellini cocktail, it's made with Prosecco and served in a champagne flute.
Right.
It's got peach puree and Prosecco in like a tall wine glass. You mix it up.
We should be drinking that during this show, but it's too late now. Oh, wow.
Well, not too late for me. I'll just go get one.
Pause. Well, you do all the work anyway. I'm going to go get myself one. And then there'll just be 5 minutes of silence.
Yeah, you've barely said anything on this episode so far.
It's quality. It's not quantity. No, that didn't work either.
It didn't work with
that
Heather.
It doesn't fly. Anyway, where were we?
Isabella wrote to Cecilia, having seen today some fine portraits by the hand of Giovanni Bellini, we began to discuss the works of Leonardo and wished we could compare them with these paintings. And since we remember that he painted your likeness, we beg you to be so good as to send us your portrait by this messenger, whom we have dispatched on horseback, so that we may not only be able to compare the works of the two masters, but also have the pleasure of seeing your face again.
Aww. That's so sweet.
I send it without delay, Cecilia replied, but pointed out that it was no longer a good likeness, But your highness must not think this proceeds from any defect in the master, for indeed I think there is no other painter to equal him in the world, right. But merely because the portrait was painted when I was much younger, and now I've been eating Nutella like you told me, and apparently it's not keeping the fat away.
No.
By the way, my ermine, I had to eat my ermine.
I thought you could say I sat on it and killed it, and now it's something I wrap around my neck because it's flat as fuck. She was so fat, the Oompa Loompas had to come up with a song for her. That's how fat she eventually got. But the point is, Isabella has found her portrait artist.
She was so fat. Oompa. Wow. Oompa. Okay, no fat shaming, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cecilia Gallerani. I guess that's why he dumped her. He did dump her and replaced her with the other one, right?
Hey, I like you so much, I'm going to go out and get a younger, thinner version of you. That's how much you mean to me. And
then I'm going to go get a version of you that looked like you when I started banging you 5 years ago.
Because I got to tell you, it's a different view from up here. Yeah.
I know. And I wish I could just have clones of you, but that's how much I like clones of you back then.
Right.
Gene. But, you know.
Time.
Well, look, I just invented Nutella. I mean, what do you expect? I can't invent cloning as well in the same week. Give me a break. Yeah, times, can't do everything. I'm not Cam. I can't do everything.
Only the Cam is the man. Yeah, you can't do it. Time stops for no man or woman.
So then Leonardo dropped in to visit Isabella on his way from Milan to Florence in early 1500. He did a chalk painting, a chalk drawing of her. He also did a copy of it. So he left one with her. Mm-hmm. And then he did a copy, and he goes, "I'll use this copy to flesh it out, turn it into a painting, full deal. It'll be great. Full treatment. Oh, it's going to be great.
Yes, you'll love it."
He took it with him and showed it to a friend who reported back to Isabella. I think I mentioned this in an earlier episode. The portrait is exactly like you, and it could not be done better.
Right.
But then she said that her husband, Francesco, I'm banging Lucrezia Borgia, Gorgonzola, gave it away.
Does that sound right to you?
She sent a letter to her agent in Florence saying,
"We all have one.
Will you also beg Leonardo to send us another drawing of our portrait, since his lordship, our consort, has given away the one which he left here?"
I guess
it's so, here's a picture of my wife. Who do you give a picture of your wife to?
That's weird.
His mistress? I think he gave it to Lucrezia Borgia, and she was throwing darts at it, or they were fucking in front of it.
You like this, huh? Look what he's doing to me now.
He's putting my sweet spot. Yeah.
I didn't even know the sweet spot was there until I met him. That's how good of a lover he is.
Yeah, I thought it was a rumor, a myth.
Right. But the point is, I thought that was weird, and I thought maybe, just maybe, that was her opening salvo to have a communication with Leo and go, "Oh, my husband gave away my one. Maybe you could send me that one," as in hurry up and fucking color it in and send it to me because it needs to go on my wall. But that's speculation. But it just seemed to me that was something she would be capable of being that kind of passive aggressive or deceptive.
Could have been. Well, the drawing that he had with him now hangs in the Louvre, and she's got a bit of a double chin. So even Leonardo couldn't get rid of the I think it comes down to the brief. Like, you got to – like when I briefed James Caffin, I was like, look, yes, you can paint me. I have two conditions – three, actually. One
– right.
You make me look handsome and skinny.
Like two, Augustus, right?
You don't look me in the eyes during the entire process. And three, you gotta suck my dick before we start.
Because I want to look relaxed.
Standard three.
Right.
Standard three clauses
every contract. Yeah.
Every contract. Yeah. Don't look me in the eye, and I need to blow job first.
Yeah. Well, I imagine when before her husband gave hers away, she was probably staring at the one little tiny part of the chalk, you know, the little double chin, probably going, "No, see, he didn't get that right, but he's the best. So you do what you can. Needs must.
Could it be the Izzy B. Nut? Is what she's thinking?
Yeah.
Could it be the Izzy B. Nut?
My fourth helping, so what, and it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead.
What jumps out at you in this chalk portrait or cartoon, as they refer to it, of Isabella?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yes, there's details. Yes, the eyes are incredible, the outline of the face. But, I mean, I can see the side of her eye, but I can't see her face. I can't see her eyes. I can't guess or whatever her emotions, you know, what's going on here? Is there any movement? She's just sitting there staring to the side. She looks bored. It's just not popping for me.
Yeah.
It's not popping.
It's boring.
It's unpopping.
It's boring. Yes. It's not popping. And, you know, if you compare it to the portraits that he did of Sforza's mistresses.
Yes.
Which are astounding.
Popping all over the place.
Yeah. Popping and rocking like an 80s beatbox break dancer. Yes. You know. Gotta pop another one of these like rocking beats.
I almost busted a move, but then I hurt my back, so it's gonna stop right there.
Now apparently this was her insistence that he paint her this way. She's basically full turned to the left, her arms are crossed. I can't hear you. You've muted your mic, and I can see your lips moving.
Sorry.
But it's no boring. Sounds coming out.
Yeah, she's just flat. Just ugh.
Yeah. So I think one of the reasons Leonardo didn't want to work on this is because it's boring.
Right.
And he's not – he's at a point now where he's not going to do boring shit.
No. He's peaking
like
as an artist. Exactly.
Like us.
Exactly.
Like he's reached Cameron Ray level of fame and success where he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do.
Right. Exact. Oh, shit. I don't want to do this. All right. See you next week.
You haven't done anything.
But if That's I do it, I'll then be tired and resentful. And you don't want that. You don't want that. Anyway.
He has reached our level of life. Like, we've leveled
mastery.
Up in life.
Like,
life mastery. That's the title of our new book. Life mastery.
Made
Cam
easy.
And Ray.
Right.
Ray.
Cam and Ray style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake it
yeah.
till you make it.
Oh, and if you don't make it, just keep faking
that's
it.
That's right. And just keep going back to podcasting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you make a good point. Why would he want to take something that is totally against all these things that he's come up with, you know, the three angle or the full on, the movement, the emotions, all that stuff. None of that is here. Why should he be excited about color, you know, colorizing or whatever this thing, because it's the antithesis of who he is as an artist. I don't care that she's Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, and whoever else all rolled into one. He doesn't care. That's not how his brain works.
He's like, bitch, I'm only going to do 20 paintings. Like Quentin, he's only going to do 10 films.
Yes.
Now, I'm only going to do 20 paintings. Right. I've got 20, that's it. Not 21.
I don't have 21.
Not 19. Any.
That's what I told Heather.
I'm going to do.
Yeah. I got a few good ones in me. After that,
I thought you said I've got 20 inches. Not 21. Not 19. She goes, you're looking at the centimeter side of the ruler. And she's like, oh, shit.
Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is
20 centimeters?
Yeah. It sounds impressive.
It is impressive.
It is impressive.
20 centimeters?
Yeah.
You know, that's 8 inches.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, you've only got 8.
Look at that.
Oh, this is an awkward. Why is it black?
Well, what do you think? It's longer.
I'm sorry. But he's not
Let's
excited.
Go black. rulers. Can't get back.
Once you've had Ray, you know you're gay. No, that's not how that was supposed to go. Shit. No, you know it's the way. Fuck, I ruined it. Forget it. On with the show.
You always told me that it's not gay if you do it with Ray. That's what you told me in Vegas.
You know how many times that's worked? Oh,
yeah.
My God. And that's my philosophy.
It's not, they always say, it's not gay if you do it with Ray.
That way, everybody's a potential target. I haven't cut myself off from 50% of... potato, potato. Anyway. Yeah.
That's what Bill Cosby said. Victim, target, you know, you call it what you want. Look, I'm not here to debate the meanings of words. That's Bill Clinton's job.
Let's get on with it. That's what he said. Anyway.
So this is where her willfulness
yes.
may have meant she missed out on being one of the 20 Leonardo da Vinci paintings that were ever done. Because right. you gotta be confident that when Leonardo was with her in Mantua, going to do a portrait, he was like, listen, you've seen what I'm capable of. Right. You've seen what I did with that woman that your brother-in-law's fucking. And you know, I'm not interested in boring shit. I want to push the envelope, man. I want to twist the face. Yes. I want to show action. I want to show emotion. I want to show the inner life of the person. I want the glint in the eye, the little smile. And you kind of, I've got this idea for a painting of a woman with a little bit of a hint of a smile on her face. It's, I think it could be massively famous. Right. And maybe I could use you as the model. She's like, fuck all that bullshit. Just give me a legitimate, serious portrait, like all the other serious portraits, my head turned full to the side, looking serious, looking like I'm a serious person.
Yeah, I'm royalty. Just make me look serious. It's what's expected of me, and this is how I think of myself.
He was like, really? That's not – she goes, just fucking do it.
He's like,
you're staying in my castle.
All right.
You're eating my food.
Right.
You're fucking my boy servants. You just fucking – and he's like, fucking do it.
Give me a piece of chalk and a piece of paper and shut the fuck up.
I'm going to fucking do it, man. It's going to be boring.
Right. And it is. It is.
That was my take on – that was Leonardo as done by Dana Carvey doing George Bush – the first. Not going to do it. Would not be prudent at this juncture.
And what's really scary is I got that. I got that.
Oh, you got all that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We have been married for too long.
We're in each other's heads and pants. Please on with the story.
But it's not gay.
It's not gay because it's with Ray. Exactly. Exactly.
It's not good either.
No, but I never said it would be. So
at least it's not gay.
You can't hold me to that.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's truth in advertising.
Thank you.
Leonardo hated being bored. Now, you know, in most of his portraits, particularly this stage of his life,
right?
He's trying to make them more interesting. And you look at the progression, as we have done, over the last year of this podcast. Ginevra de Benci, Cecilia Gallerani, Lucrezia Crivelli. And then, of course, what's coming next is Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
They are all posed, three-quarters view, doing something interesting with their faces or their hands or their ermines.
Yeah, as you do. But the point is, he's breaking the boundaries. He's trying out new things. He's got the curly hair going on. He's got the backgrounds that are amazing, and they're actually fucking accurate. I would never take the time to study rocks to make sure I have the right type of colored, layered rocks. Fuck that. But he's doing the streams and the rivers and the hair and the light, the bouncing off. The whole lighting by itself is fucking genius. The angles, everything. And now she's like, I would like a standard cookie cutout profile picture, please. And I'm someone who's important. He's like, bitch, I don't care. Fortunately for him, he's in one city and she's in another.
At this stage, yeah.
Yes.
Like the other women that he painted were not royalty. They were mistresses of Ludovico or upper class wives. But he could dictate, I think is what's going on here. With these other women, he could dictate what he was going to do.
Right. And they'd just be happy.
He was like, listen.
Yeah.
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 Just let me do it the way I want to do it. Trust me, it's going to be great. Right. Yeah, I know. But when he said, trust me, it's going to be great, he could deliver on that.
What I meant to say was it's going to be great for me.
Yes.
I left that last part out. That's important, isn't it?
It's the bits you leave out that matters,
And according to her, I left out most of my penis. But we're not here to talk about negatives. We're here. Go ahead.
Isabella, though, he couldn't say no to. No. She was too powerful, yes. too rich, too famous, too forceful. So while he's with her in Mantua, he has to make it sound like he's going exactly. along. He's playing the game. Yeah. As soon as he's out of there, he's like, what are you going to do? Have me arrested?
Drag me back? You. Make me paint it? Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you. So it's boring because she wanted it. She insisted that it be boring.
Yes.
So now she's known as a great patron of the arts, a great collector, and she was those things, but she obviously had more money than taste here.
Yeah.
Like,
I've never had that
if
problem.
She really
– right.
We don't have either. But she,
sorry.
She, like, if she had any, like, I'm sure she was smart, but and you got to remember that, like, it's easy for us to look back 500 years later and criticize,
right?
But she looked at Lady with an Ermine. And decided on the basis of that to choose Leonardo.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that if she's smart and knows her art, she would have recognized.
Exactly.
Your average layperson might have looked at Lady with an Ermine back then and gone, oh, that's not, that's weird. Like it's almost psychedelic, Dali bloody, stuff going on there too. Somebody in the late 1490s or 1500, that's way out there. That's trippy as fuck. You've got this person doing something and turning and expressing an emotion. Oh, dude, slow the fuck down. But this woman, you would expect her to be more sophisticated, more civilized, more educated, and she did choose Leonardo on the basis of that. So you would have, like, if it was me, I'd be like, hey, like when James Caffin's painting my portrait,
right.
I'm not dictating to him the pose.
Yeah, you're the artist. Suggest,
I mean, we did talk about having you naked on your hands and knees and me with my boot on your throat and a vegetable jammed up your ass. But he was like, well, can we get Ray to pose for that? He needs to pose in person. We need to fly him over. And
I said yes. I said yes.
You were even willing to pay for your own flight.
Right.
We were in a hurry.
But I wasn't going to provide the vegetable. That's my own stipulation. My own stipulation. Yeah.
You were going to eat it afterwards, but you wouldn't.
It's none of your damn business. It's none of your damn business, contract. Ken. Yeah.
Remove the brown M&Ms from the bowl and you provide the carrot. I get to keep the carrot, but you provide the carrot.
So basically, she should have said to Leonardo what I said to you in Vegas. You're the artist. You're the master. Do whatever you think is best. But she didn't, because she's arrogant and confident and she knows what she wants.
Yeah. So as a result, she got nothing. Well, she got a chalk drawing. But then her husband gave it away. It was because she looked fat.
Right. There's a lot of letters, a lot of lettering going on back and forth between Mantua and Florence. But yeah.
There's this friar, Pietro da Novellara.
Right.
Who had been Isabella's confessor. He's pretty well connected.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Florence, and she wrote to him in March of 1501. So this is like a year after Leonardo did her drawing.
Yeah.
She wrote, if Leonardo the Florentine, the painter, is to be found in Florence, we beg you will inform us what he is doing and whether he has begun any work.
Mm.
Your reverence might find out, as you best know how, if he would undertake to paint a picture for our studio.
Oh, okay.
Friar Pietro wrote back a reply on April 3rd.
Right.
From what I hear, Leonardo's life is very irregular and uncertain, and he seems to live for the day only.
Duh. Have you not met this man?
Living in the moment, dude. Yeah. He was three illusioned. Arp as fuck. The only art he was doing, as far as Friar Tuck could tell, was a preparatory drawing for what would become the painting of the Virgin and Child with Saint Anne,
right?
Which I don't think we've got to yet.
No, not yet.
He has done nothing else except that two of his apprentices are painting portraits to which he sometimes adds a few touches.
Ah, so he's now the master with his own school, which we'll get into soon.
which we'll get into soon. Yes, when we have these questions of did Leonardo paint it or right. did somebody, one of his assistants paint it?
Right. But here's the thing, and I know you're going to go into this, but you and I have spent, I don't know how many episodes, how many hours, talking about all the amazing things that Leonardo can do, that he's interested in, that he studies, that he just, you know, what's next? What's the next question? What's beyond the envelope? He's just always pushing knowledge in every bound, every area, because I'm never going to cut up bodies to see how the muscles and bones and all that shit works. But he's not just a portrait
painter.
Well,
you've cut up lots of bodies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Time.
That's a hobby,
but
though.
Just
that's
to,
different. That's
just
a, to, my Dexter face.
Just to see the light go out in their eyes and then to,
I don't
to
care
eat
what,
them.
I don't care what happens
some
after that. Yeah,
fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Exactly. No, but yeah, he's not just a painter. She can't just go up and like a plumber and go, hey, I want you to paint this for me. No, he's not just a painter. We know that he's so much more. And the friar also adds, he devotes much of his time to geometry and has no fondness at all for the paintbrush. So what almost sounds like an insult or criticism or whatever, this is just Leo. Today I'm a painter. Tomorrow it's dragonflies or it's birds or it's whatever. This is who he is. This is how he lives his life. And he, even though he's not rich, he's got just enough money to almost always be his own boss. Unless, of course, you're the king of France with an army. Then you can get Leonardo to do stuff for you because he's afraid of you. Rightly so.
Yeah, but also it's got to be a good project too.
It better be good. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, agents, darling, you think you can dissect me with this blunt little tool?
No. I thought that your knowledge...
You're so ambitious, aren't you? Do you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube with a little taste. Good nutrition's given you some length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor white trash, are you, Agent Starling? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia. Where's your father? Is he a coal miner? Does he stink of the land? You know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI. FBI.
You see a lot, Doctor? When are you strong enough to point that high-powered perception at yourself? What about it? Why don't you look at yourself and write down what you see? Maybe you're afraid to.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Fly, fly.
You fly back to school now, little starling.
Fly, fly.
Fly, fly, fly.
Fly, fly.
Fly, fly.
Oh, now I got to go back and watch that movie. But not while I'm doing edibles because I'll cry and have nightmares.
The friar also told Isabella that Leonardo devotes much of his time to geometry and has no fondness at all for the paintbrush.
Yeah, it's not what I'm feeling today.
Yeah, so this is where Leonardo's at in Florence. Painting, he's got his assistants doing the painting work.
Yes.
He's more interested in studying geometry.
Well, he's never going to stop learning because, remember, math was his weak point. And so, yeah, he's not going to stop. This is who he is.
So Friar Tuck here was able to organize a meeting with Leonardo via Salai.
Right.
And he said he wrote – sweet cheeks. Mm-hmm. He wrote a letter to Isabella saying, I have succeeded in learning the intentions of the painter Leonardo by means of his pupil Salai and some of his other friends who took me to see him on Wednesday. In truth, his mathematical experiments have absorbed his thoughts so entirely that he cannot bear the sight of a paintbrush.
Well, that's that. It's over, right?
But, yeah, well, no. as you hinted at before, he had committed to do some paintings for Louis XII of France when he took Milan. And Leonardo was still there. And right. Louis' secretary, Florimond Robertet. Pietro wrote back to Isabella, if he can get free from his engagement with the King of France without displeasing him, which he hopes to do by the end of a month at latest, he would rather serve your excellency than any other person in the world. But in any case, as soon as he has finished a little picture, which he is doing for a certain Robertet, a favourite of the King of France, he will do your portrait immediately. Yes. Now, I like this. He's like... Sure, he's going to try and get out of doing a painting for the King of France.
Yeah, because
kings
are known for being moderate and understanding.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But knowing Leonardo, he probably was. He's probably like, hey, listen, King, dude, bruh, I just can't. I'm doing maths Frenchy. Right now. I'm in a maths time of my life.
Right.
The painting business, I'm not feeling it. Maybe we'll come back to it later. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. He ended his letter with a note of resignation. That is all I could get from him.
And that will not be the last time you hear that phrase in regards to Leonardo.
Yeah. Wow. Now, the crazy thing is about this. Right. She probably would have paid a shit ton of money.
Yes.
B.
Thank you.
He didn't even have to paint it. No. He has assistants.
Students. He should have pulled a Ray. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Give Cheryl. Me the money.
Got Cheryl.
Cheryl, yeah. Start painting. I'll come along with my paintbrush. Tap, 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 tap. Done.
So why wouldn't he do that? Why? Like, he didn't have to pick up a paintbrush himself. Maybe, a couple of touches. He couldn't even give a fuck. Could not bring himself to even do that. Didn't even want to waste his assistant's time.
Damn.
On doing
Damn.
That. He's like, listen, they could be blowing me. I mean,
I don't want to take away from that.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I need somebody beyond that dick 24/7.
Yeah, so basically, I had something good. Hold on, let's see here. If I can remember.
I doubt that very much.
Yeah, no, the fact that he wouldn't even waste his time or his assistants, but it's not he wouldn't be true to himself. One, he's not in the art mood. Two, it's a boring project. Three, he doesn't really care about money. Yes, he needs money, and we've talked about money in the past, but money for him is a tool. It's an ends to a mean. It's not the ultimate goal. He doesn't care like us whores do. It's not going to get him excited, and so he's not even going to fake wasting his time with this woman.
You know, it reminds me of when, I don't know if you remember this, but a month or so ago when we were at the Grand Canyon.
Right.
There was this one day where you and I were sitting out the back where the servants' quarters were, having a stogie, talking, and this stunning, gorgeous blonde, she looked like Seven from Battlestar Galactica, bottle blonde hair, tall, perfect body, great
right
breasts.
Places. Yes.
Yeah, just wearing this tight, skin-hugging red, fire engine red dress with a slit right up the side, right up to her waist, naked leg sticking out, low cut, big cleavage, bright red lipstick, long nails, just enough flawless skin,
right,
gorgeous. And she walked up to you and said, "You're Ray Harris, aren't you?" And you said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "I'm a big fan. I want to suck your dick right now." And you can stick it in any of my holes in public. I'm all for it. And you were like, and she said, "Look, and I'll pay you. I'll pay you
$100,000. Yeah.
If you will let me suck your dick right now."
Right. Yeah.
And you were like, "Look,
I'm an artist.
I could. But I'm just not really feeling it right now. I'm just and you wouldn't want me to do it to let you suck my dick if I wasn't really into it.
Because that would be a lie.
No. That would be demeaning to you.
Right, and I would not.
I'm thinking about myself.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't want to. Yeah, I would not feel good about pretending that I'm in the mood for you to suck dick.
True, that's who I am.
Give me a little money.
Now, if you excuse me, madam, I'm going to go back and have sex with Cam. But you have a good day. No, but it's
and you
not.
You tipped your hat, and then you walked backwards.
I tugged my forelock. No, but this is literally not Leo. And he's like, you have missed on every single level with me, lady. Like, not unlike the woman in the Grand Canyon with me, but there is nothing to get him excited. It's not going to happen. But he can't come out, or he doesn't come out and say that, because it would it'd be a whole brouhaha.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. Tacky. He can't offend.
Good point.
He doesn't want to offend. And he's a gentleman. He doesn't want to offend, but he just doesn't want to do it either.
Yeah,
I think the problem here is that it was just – I think she fucked it by insisting that he paint a boring portrait.
She's pushy. Like, yeah, she was pushy.
Yeah, don't like it.
No.
Don't want to do it. Don't feel good. In all seriousness, you know, I used to when I ran the marketing consulting business, I'd go and have like first meetings with potential new clients,
right?
And we'd talk for an hour.
Yeah, get to know them.
And I'd be like, I'm not feeling it.
There's no chemistry. There's no
nothing. I don't think you trust me. Like, you get those clients where they just want to tell you what your job is, what your business is. You're like,
I have a coworker like that.
That's not how it works. Yeah. Oh yeah, you have coworkers.
You.
Oh, you mean superiors.
Here we go. This is the beginning of the end of the show. Okay. No, but yeah, I mean, she approached him the wrong way. But then again, and we've stressed this, she didn't even consider his feelings, his mood, or anything. She's like, I'm royalty, you're shit. Paint this. This should be a great honor for you. And I'll give you a whole bunch of money, even though I shouldn't have to because I'm so fucking awesome. She missed completely with pitching this to Leo.
And he's not wealthy. He can't really afford to turn. And he's got, you know, assistants. He's got staff. He's got a retinue, household, this kind of thing. But even then, he is not prepared to be subservient to some rich bitch who wants him to do something he doesn't want to do. He's like, no, life's too short.
Take him to do that, to literally color this in, give us, I mean, I have no idea. Give me a month. Or whatever time. It's too much. He is not willing to waste that time.
Mm. Or his assistant's time. She even wrote to him directly a few months after the letter from Pietro in July 1501. She wrote directly to Leonardo, and he didn't even reply to her letter.
Didn't
he?
Was
just like,
yeah,
you trash. Know, we've got a special filing cabinet for that.
File 13.
Threw it in the shredder.
Right.
Her agent, when he followed up on this, wrote back to her, I gave him to understand that if he wished to reply, I could forward his letters onto your ladyship and thus save his costs.
Yeah.
He read your letter and said he would do so, but hearing nothing more from him, I finally sent one of my men to him to learn what he wished to do.
Oh.
He sent back the answer that for now he was not in a position to send another reply to your ladyship, but that I should advise you that he has already begun work on that which your ladyship wanted from him.
Oh.
And then he wrote, in short, this is as much as I've been able to get from the said Leonardo.
Can I translate that? Look, I'm fucking doing it, okay? Fuck off. And he's not doing it.
3 years later. Still no painting from Leonardo. Still no evidence that he'd even started it. Finally, in May 1504, Isabella realized that this was getting nowhere, asked him to instead paint her a picture of baby Jesus.
Who could say no to that? Come on. Who could say no? Besides you, who could say no? Paint me a little baby Jesus about 12 years old. I'll be happy. I'll be happy.
She said, when you were in this city and drew our portrait in chalk, you promised us that you would someday paint it in colors.
Oh.
But because this would be almost impossible, since you are unable to come here, we beg you to keep your promise by converting our portrait into another figure, which would be still more acceptable to us. That is to say, a youthful Christ of about 12 years old.
Mm. Okay. Again.
She suggested she would pay any price he wanted.
Yes. So forget. Go ahead. Sorry.
Still, he ignored her letter.
Yeah. Okay, look, you don't have to do the boring portrait of me. Paint baby Jesus or whatever, young Jesus. Everybody loves that kind of stuff. You can do whatever you want. I'll pay you whatever you want. Just do something because I have got to win this 4 or 5 or 6 year argument. And like you just said, he says no, or he doesn't reply. I'm not sure which one it is, but she doesn't get her 12-year-old Jesus painting.
So her agent goes to visit Leonardo again and then writes to her, a pupil of Leonardo Vinci, Sally by name, young in years but very talented, has a great wish to do some gallant thing for your excellency. So if you desire a little picture from him, you only have to tell me the price you are ready to pay. Sally's like, bitch, I'll do the painting for her.
I mean, I am a sex worker. I will do this. What do you, music, painting, cum stains, whatever.
Yeah, blowjobs, you name it.
Art comes in many forms. I will do whatever.
And she was like, nah, I want the man himself. I don't want his bum boy. I want the real thing. Finally, in 1506, she decided to personally travel to Florence.
In a golden chariot. No, I'm just
joking. In a golden chariot, 50 boats, to see what's going on. She rocks up.
Right.
And rocks up to his house on the day of the appointed meeting.
Right in the eye. Right?
Yeah, he's not there. She rocks up.
What? Did she not tell him she was coming? Would it have made a difference? I think the answer is
no. Reminds me of the two guys from IBM that Bill Gates sent to see the guy who had developed QDOS.
Right.
So circa 1979, 1980, something like that, IBM are planning on coming out with their first personal computer and they need an operating system for it.
Oh, okay.
Bill Gates's mother, Mary Gates, happens to be on the board of IBM time.
Right.
And they say to her, she goes, I think my son might be able to help. So she calls Bill and he goes, yeah, I know a guy who has an operating system that would do that. So he puts IBM in contact with this guy that has an operating system called QDOS, Quick and Dirty OS.
Right.
And they make a time to go meet with this guy. He lives in the middle of fucking nowhere, like Idaho or something. Yeah. They travel from New York. It's like 1975 or something. 1979, 1980, I don't know, whatever. They fly to this guy's place, and he's not there. He blows them off. He's flying his crop duster. Yeah. He's off just – he's like, ah, fuck you guys, big corporate. I don't know. So they go back to Mary and say guy didn't make the meeting. She goes back to Bill and says guy doesn't make the meeting. Bill said, give me a week. Bill goes to the guy and buys QDOS off him. And then goes and does the deal with IBM.
He says, brilliant.
He pays like $10,000 for it. He goes to IBM and he goes, listen, you can pay me $1 million
right
up front, or you can pay me $1 for every computer you put it on in perpetuity. And they're like, well, we'll take the $1. That's the easiest deal. Right.
And now Bill Gates owns more farmland in America than anybody else, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah. So QDOS became MS-DOS and ended up making him a billionaire.
And
the guy blew off the meeting.
The guy in the plane hopefully had the sense to fly into a mountain after missing out on hundreds of millions or however many.
Billions. I don't want their blood money. That big corporate.
Like, yeah, he's like, Leo, look, that's important to you. It's not important to me. I just wanted to build it.
Yeah. I just wanted to fly my crop duster day. So she goes to – Leonardo's not flying a crop duster, although he was trying to figure out how to build one because he was out in the countryside doing studies on the flight of birds. Like one of these days I'll be able to blow someone off by flying a crop duster when they rock up. But for now, I need to figure out how to build one.
The birds. Oh, they tilt their wings. And royalty is coming and he misses out. Yeah.
She did meet with Alessandro Amadori, the brother of Leonardo's stepmother, Albiera.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a guy who knows a guy who knows someone who knows Leonardo. He goes, don't worry, I got it.
I got this.
He's good at saying, hey, you look at her for something, lady, signora.
I can make it
signora.
Happen. Signora. Yeah.
You were looking for something. I got this thing. She goes, do you know Leonardo da Vinci? Oh, Leonardo.
That's my bitch. I'll do whatever I say. Yeah, no, many. No
d'accordo. I know Leonardo. Yeah, yeah. Conosciuto. And he goes, yeah, look, don't worry about it. I'll make it happen. He said, here in Florence, I act at all hours as the representative of Your Excellency with Leonardo da Vinci, my nephew.
Right.
and I do not cease to urge him by every argument in my power to satisfy your desire and paint the figure for which you asked him. This time he has really promised me that he will soon begin the work and satisfy your wish.
Any day now. Any
it's day.
It's only been 5-6 years. Any day now.
And? It's like I've been saying, any day now, Ray's going to do some work. It's been 9 years we've worked together, but any day now.
What's one of the definitions? What's the main definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
So calm the fuck down. If it hasn't happened by now, it ain't going to happen. And I'm not talking about Leo. I think we both know who I'm talking about. So...
Which one of us is, does that make insane, though?
Oh.
Probably me.
Probably.
Let's go with that. So obviously, Leonardo never did it. He did not give a fuck. And that's the whole point of this story, I guess. He's got this rich, not just rich and powerful, but insanely rich.
Yes.
And incredibly powerful.
She could set him
up. Well connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a studio. Have all the bum boys you want. Here's all the paint you want. Here's do whatever you want, but you got to turn out some paints for me. She could have set him up like Ludovico did. Not his style anymore.
He didn't give a fuck about money. He didn't give a fuck about his, keeping his word or living up to expectations.
Lying. He knew he was lying when he said, yeah, I'll get to it. Fuck off.
He would paint portraits if they appealed to him, if it was an interesting challenge.
Yeah. Or something cool about the person or the situation. Give me something to hang my hat on.
Yeah. Now, you would think this woman is one of the coolest women in Italy.
Yes.
Smart, beloved, powerful, beautiful, supposedly.
Blood. Yeah.
But no.
He's not impressed. He's not impressed.
No.
Yeah.
No. She fucked up. You don't fuck. You get one chance.
That's right.
One chance Da Vinci. That's what they call him. OCV. They call him One Chance Da Vinci,
that was
man.
It. Yeah.
You get one shot.
You blew it.
Yeah. You blew it.
Next. Yeah. But he
was. One chance. Like Julius Caesar, we used to say he had one chance Caesar,
mercy.
Right?
You get one mercy and then like fucking cut your head off or whatever. I can't remember.
Hands.
Hands. There we go. Hands. Yeah.
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 Cut your hands off.
Yeah. But he is doing some painting. Just not for her. So, thank goodness.
We'll get to that next time.
Yes.
Ciao, Bella.
Belcella. Are we done?